Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/comedypodcastnetwork. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Everybody in podcast land, welcome to the sports podcast. I'm Joel Anderson.
I'm Jordan Palmaville.
And joining us, as always, the sports outsiders, Phil Ranta.
Hey, don't take my echo. That's mine from Weird Sports.
Okay, you
don't steal my echo. I own the echo.
You don't own all echoing.
Oh, Phil. Yeah, I do. Every time a kid falls down a well, he has to pay me royalties. That's right.
Only if he talks,
yeah. As long as he knows how to keep his mouth shut.
Stay out of trouble.
Which is always the last thing I say before I push a child down a wall. You'll be all right as long as you know how to keep your mouth shut.
Okay. So, Phil.
Yes.
Did you catch any games this week?
No. I didn't.
Nothing?
I didn't make it to the television, the ESPN.
Is that because you were climbing Mount Baldy on your bicycle?
I didn't get around to that either. I actually didn't play any sports this week either.
I thought this was an episodic podcast, not a serialized podcast. I'm not ready for these carryover plot lines.
Yeah. I was supposed to climb a hill. I was supposed to climb Mount Baldy in a bike.
Yeah.
Didn't get around to it because I have to live my life. The end.
There it goes. Well, just goes
previously
to show,
on sports podcast.
Don't badmouth the Tour de France, which kicked off, folks. Fabian Cancellara in yellow after winning the prologue.
What? I don't know what any of that
he's
means.
Cancellara, he's a Swiss bicycle rider, and he's in first place right now by about 7 seconds.
But you said in the last one it didn't matter who's in first in the early days.
Well, it doesn't, but it's still kind of cool to be in the yellow jersey.
All right.
Fabian Cancellara's not going to win the Tour de France, so he's sure enjoying this right now.
I actually typed his name into Google, and Google said, "Did you mean anyone else?"
This is the second time that he's held yellow after winning the prologue, guys. So he's kind of a big
the
cyclist.
Prologue insinuates that it's before the sport kicks off.
You know, and I actually had a talk conversation with my friend Patrick about this because I was like, wait, do these times actually count towards the final results? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, why do they call it the prologue then?
Yeah.
They do.
After it's over, is there an epilogue too where they're like, this guy went on to become a street vendor in Paris,
France. There's no epilogue. There's just a prologue.
Lance Armstrong was married to Sheryl Crow. And
until he wasn't.
That's true. That's true. I had a reading comprehension test once in a French class, and it was right when they had that bitter. It was the other wife he had that really ugly divorce with, right?
Before because he started. Of Sheryl Crow?
Yeah.
It could be.
I don't know. One of them.
The man's got almost as many divorces as he does Tour de France championships.
It was.
Woo!
It was an exam, and the whole reading comprehension was about how great their marriage was.
Oh.
And it was right when they got a divorce. So it was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
Good story.
Irony comprehension.
Those. All right, well, so Phil did not watch any sports, did not climb Mount Baldy.
Nah, I mostly sat around.
Yeah,
I drank beer on the 4th of July.
So did I.
That's kind of like a sport.
I had some simpler times.
Simpler times.
Do you guys know there's both a simpler times lager and a simpler times pilsner?
Please, I bet Joel. They both taste like water.
They both taste pretty similar. I did not know there was two different
They taste really good for $3 for a six-pack.
Well, they sure
Oh, for that,
shit,
everything tastes good.
Yeah.
Swamp water tastes good for $3 for a six-pack.
Well, let's not get carried.
I do not like simpler times.
Somehow I like to just sit back and think about simpler times. You
for
know?
Its price, simpler times is an exceptional beer.
Yeah.
An exceptional beer.
If you like to drink snail jism, then yes.
Well, again, at 50 cents a can, it's...
Well, sure.
All right. Well, hey, Jordan, what do we have in the decket?
Well, today we have in the decket.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We have a big time guest.
Oh.
The mayor of the Olympic Village.
Oh.
Really? Like the one in the London.
London, they set up a village for the athletes to live, and they feed them, and they lodge them.
Now, it's an international competition, so I'm guessing he's not British.
He is not British.
Okay.
Wow.
That's interesting. That's going to be part of our weekly Olympic countdown watch update.
That is correct.
Yeah. Update watch countdown. Those three words in some combination, that's what we call it.
Yeah. And so we have that. We have the What's More Racist.
Are we sure?
We're going to do a segment called What's More Racist?
Okay, why?
Well, because...
What does that have to do with sports?
Because topically, like about 6 weeks ago, Adidas came out with these sneakers.
That's sneakers are already used, getting racist.
Right? That had shackles attached to them.
That's not
like
racist.
Like plastic shackles. Well, yeah. Well, hold up.
All right.
You'll have your turn.
Okay.
You'll all get your chance.
All right, fine. I'm just saying that inherently that's not racist.
All right. And then, we have... Oh, the one other thing I wanted to talk about that was not on the decket, but not really a sport, is a sports competition, the hot dog eating contest.
Oh,
for a sixth straight year, an American, Joey Chestnut,
yes,
has taken home the mustard belt.
Nice. Now, was there controversy again this year? Because I know Kobayashi is in the midst of some big hullabaloo.
Last year, he cried and did it at like his own bar somewhere else that was not... I don't know. He had some sort of thing where he wasn't participating in major league eating. He was on some different circuit.
Real competitors don't cry.
Right?
They get off of their high horse and they eat some hot dogs.
He was not even there this time. I didn't even hear about him being somewhere else.
To the eating people out there, if you're, say, I don't know, boxing... You know, a sport that's got a long history, you can almost get away with the sort of splinters and divisions that they have. If you're major league eating, a sport that people watch like maybe once a year.
Yeah,
like,
that's no. accurate. Maybe get, once a year.
Get Less in the same man tent there, food. Guys. Yeah.
If you count Man versus Food, I watch it quite a bit.
Man versus Food is no longer making new episodes.
Right. Now they have Man versus Food Nation, though.
That's over, too. It's now America's Best Sandwich.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Adam Richman just basically did that show long enough so he could make a Diners, Drives, and Dives clone for the Travel Channel.
Oh, jeez.
That's all the end game was. I know, I feel cheated,
too. I wanted him to die with pork in his mouth.
Right, and here's the thing. On Man vs. Food Nation, when he stopped doing the eating challenges,
did
we notice a dip in weight? Because I didn't.
No.
Still at the same hefty dude.
A little bit of chop on him.
I mentioned that I don't have cable anymore, guys.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, spoiler alert.
You'll catch up on the DVD someday.
It's at some point, I will get the full season of Man vs. Food and Man vs. Food Nation.
Right.
But the big news.
Yeah.
Steve Nash, Los Angeles Laker.
Yeah.
Wow.
Steve Nash of the Phoenix Suns. Is it three-time or two-time league MVP Steve Nash?
Not sure, Joel.
Okay.
Don't watch a lot of Phoenix Suns basketball.
At least twice.
He's Canadian.
Wait, he's a basketball player from Canada?
You betcha.
How do they dribble in the snow?
He's the basketball player from Canada.
Yeah. Oh, there's only one.
But he's had a long and storied career. Everyone says he's a humble, really nice guy. And he's toward the end of his career. He's like in his, I believe, his mid-30s.
Yeah, still doesn't have a ring.
Doesn't have the ring. And it don't mean a thing till you get the ring.
Right. I mean, nobody must like him because they didn't put a ring on it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Now, Steve Nash, long, beloved, humble, wonderful athlete, going to go play with Kobe and the Lakers. I think everyone's going to hate him.
Classic heel turn.
Classic heel turn.
Oh, he's going to grow out the mustache, start wearing tight black T-shirts.
Yep, absolutely.
It's going to happen. Is he going to change his name to, like, Destructo Nash?
Not off the table.
Okay, Just checking on it.
I would vote yes. I think that's just a good idea in general.
I think that every athlete should have wrestler names. That's just me.
That was part of the premise of the, what was it, the XFL?
Yeah.
Which was what's his bucket?
Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon, who filled in once and I thought was kind of rude in the way that he just.
Oh, you think
show.
Vince McMahon is rude?
I thought Vince McMahon said
kind
some
of
disparaging
thing, Joel.
Things.
I think he's a kind rude dude. He is
there
one rude dude.
His catchphrase is, "You're fired."
So that's Donald Trump's catchphrase.
No, he had it way before Donald Trump did.
You're fired.
Right.
You're fired.
But Vince McMahon goes, "You're fired."
Either way, I'm just saying, let's not have him back on the show. Because
right.
He did hurt some feelings of Joel's.
But Steve Nash.
Steve Nash.
Joel.
Now a Laker, yes. So we do have an ad here for a book that we think is specifically a good book for Steve Nash to pick up.
Okay.
Why don't we play the tape?
Sure.
Now, from Herbie and Ballstein Publishing, the new book, Taking Your Talents to South Beach, a guide for the universally loved athlete transitioning into a universally reviled athlete. This book details precisely what you, a multimillionaire, should expect after making a decision to betray a loyal fan base in pursuit of more money and/or fall victim to a debilitating scandal. Find out how to remain completely oblivious to public opinion. Ignore loud boos at opposing stadiums. Let your money fill the emptiness in your soul. Make meaningless public apologies that no one buys. But don't just listen to me. Listen to these incredible testimonials. I took this book with me to South Beach. Man, that line never gets old. LeBron James. I never sold out the Cubs, but I did sell out my race. Throw in a losses of ability and a steroid controversy, and this book might as well have been my Bible. Sammy Sosa. I didn't know dogfighting from dodgeball before I read this book. Michael Vick. I can't text everyone a picture of my penis, so I have to settle for the lessons I learned in this book. Brett Favre. It used to bother me that everyone in America started hating me, but with this book, I've managed to block all that out and just focus on expensive living and cheap women. Tiger Woods. My, what a cavalcade of stars. So, call now and get another book thrown in as a bonus. Along with your copy of Taking My Talents to South Beach, you will receive a hardcover of Underdog, The Michael Vick Story. So call now!
Sports! 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 Sports!
The 2012 Olympics Update Watch Countdown!
Sports! Sports! Sports!
Brought to you by
sports, sports,
the Cleveland
sports,
Indians!
Sports! Sports!
Oops.
Sports! 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 Sports!
All right, what do we have in our Olympic coverage this episode?
Oh boy, do we have a guest.
Oh, that's right, we do.
A mayor.
Right here.
The mayor.
The mayor.
Of the Olympic Village in London.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the mayor of London.
No, 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 no.
No, that would be that's a common misconception. I'm okay. Not the mayor of London. I'm the mayor of the fastest growing city inside of London, the Olympic Village.
Well, that's great. Your name is Glenn Solarski?
Glenn Solarski.
Well, it's great to meet you. It's great to have you on the show, Glenn.
It's a pleasure to be here. It's my first mayorship.
Yeah.
I was never elected in the office, and I'm very pleased that I was selected to run this fine town.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about this town.
What's there not to tell? Well, it was founded in 2012. Right. It's what we consider a newer village.
Yeah.
Have you ever played the game SimCity?
Completely, yes.
Yeah, I love SimCity.
It's kind of like that, except we set up one residential zone. We set up a bunch of commercial zones around it. And then the commercial zone just sprung up, so we tore down the residential zone, put in another commercial zone. That's our town.
All right.
That's a really... Okay, I'm still working through that in my mind.
Glenn, you sound American, Glenn.
I am. Konnichiwa.
Hola.
I'm from all countries. I'm from everywhere and nowhere, just like the Olympic Village.
Oh,
it's
okay.
We coined a phrase. We call it a melting pot.
Ah, I don't know.
You didn't really coin.
It's a melting pot because we have a bunch of colors of people that all mix together. Makes
people
a beautiful rainbow.
America, though,
make so. A beautiful darkish stew, I would imagine.
Yeah.
That's racist.
that is. We'll get to that later.
Okay, all right. No. But you know what? This village is growing fast.
Yeah?
Yep, just like every village, we had 17,000 people move in its first week of existence.
That's
Do you know at this growth rate, we are going to be the largest city in the entire universe in 2084?
I did not know
That's including other planets. We've done the math.
Glenn, you can possibly know what the size of cities and other planets are.
We can guess. We know scientists.
But also, I don't know that you can actually project out that growth rate. I don't know if that's sustainable.
Nope, 17,000 people every week. That's what we've had so far.
Right, but you're on 100 acres or something like that.
Yeah, we've noticed this growth trend, though, and really, if you don't have data... What are you going to back yourself on?
But your sample size, Glenn, is clearly too small.
We can all sit here and argue about classes that I got D's in college, or we could talk about my wonderful village.
Well, I'd like to hear more about the composition of your village in terms of, like, you know, where do people eat? Where do people live?
Oh, we've got some of the finest eateries.
Yeah?
Namely, one fine eatery.
Yeah.
It's called the Coca-Cola Hebrew National Hot Dog and Vendor Hut, brought to you by Mountain Dew and American Idol.
Is that what they're calling the cafeteria?
Well, yeah, it's a cafeteria, but it can be a fine dining restaurant. If you want to, you can get somebody to wear a tuxedo and bring the food over to a table. We've got plastic benches.
See, this is where I feel like it's less like a village and more like maybe like a college dormitory. Yeah. Kind of
no, Jordan. It takes a village to raise a child, not a college dormitory.
That phrase doesn't.
And we will raise children. At this population growth rate, people are going to have sex.
Yeah, I don't. Well, they're definitely going to have sex, but I mean, let's be honest. You're not going to be raising any.
Hey, did I tell you about our newspaper? No, you did
you
not.
Have a newspaper?
Yeah, we've got a newspaper. It's the Johnson & Johnson Press. Johnson & Johnson Olympic Press. We had a wonderful article on it last week about how delicious Coca-Cola is.
Okay, how often do you print your newspaper?
Well, we've had one thus far, but at this rate, we're going to be having one a week for eternity.
Well, yeah, see, this is
in a million years, we're going to have more newspapers printed than any publication on Earth.
Well, here's the thing, Glenn, because I know, and I agree with your projections, the data is accurate.
Yes.
But here's a statistical fact.
Okay.
The Olympics,
I like statistics.
The Olympics are going to be over in 3 weeks, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, that's the you can't plan too much for the future as a mayor, Jordan.
No, it's true.
You can't do it. If you sit and worry about the future.
Did you just tell us that you were planning for 2084 when you were going to be the biggest city in the universe?
No. I'm optimistic about the future. I can't sit and think about doom. We could all die of a bomb attack. That's happened at the Olympics.
That's not something you want to bring up.
Especially in the Olympic Village.
Yeah.
No, it won't happen. You know why?
Why?
It's going to be sunny days. Sunny days in London town, right?
That
our village
like
is right
there.
In the heart of London.
Is that true?
Yep. London, some of the best weather on Earth. The last 4 days been sunny, and therefore I'm projecting it's going to be sunny for the next million years.
Glenn, that's just, London is not
Never rains
sunny.
In London, that's what they say.
No, it's not
no
at all what they say.
That,
it's
actually.
Like the exact opposite of what people say about London.
Hey, we got a trash bin.
What?
Yeah, whole bunch of them.
Civic trash bins?
Yep, cleaned daily by janitors.
Again, this really doesn't sound like a village, Glenn. It I mean, let's be honest. This is like a temporary dwelling that's not going to exist in a month.
You call it a temporary dwelling. I call it a thriving metropolis, just waiting to burst out of its metropolis egg.
That's just.
Hey,
what else about this is like a village?
Hey, you want to know what else is like a village?
What?
We got a dragon.
Sorry, what?
Nope, we got our own dragon.
You have a dragon.
Yeah, just like every other village. At this rate, if we get one dragon a week, we're going to have a million dragons in the next
in the next
50,000 years.
I'm extremely dubious as to whether or not you actually have a dragon.
No, we got a dragon. You want to see my dragon? I brought it with me.
You brought the dragon into
Well, Bill's sure.
Apartment?
He likes to take walks. Here we go. Come on, dragon. Come We call him Sprite. Sprite the dragon.
I will be
the thirst quenching dragon.
That is terrifying. That is not at all what I thought a fire breathing dragon would sound or look like.
Nah, he already ate one person at this rate. He'll eat the entire world by the year 4083.
Is that where Phil went?
Yeah. Hey, Phil was out playing with the dragon.
Hey, wait a second. I want to see. Hang on. Hey, Sprite. Do you want a Fresca?
Oh, no, you're sponsored by Sprite, Dragon. Give that back. Sprite, although has more calories and more sugar, is more delicious. Oh, God, it's got my arm. Oh, no, it's beating me alive. At this rate, it'll eat me a million times in the next 200,000 years.
Jordan, open the window, Jordan. Open the window.
Bye, guys. It's been fun.
Well, that was the strangest interview we've ever had.
You know, that's why I don't like doing politics on this show.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Wicka, wicka, what's more racist? Oh, 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 oh.
Wow, that wins. That's more racist.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to be able to beat our intro there.
Is it that against everything else? Because that wins. You're a terrible person. That was Jordan. That wasn't me or Joel.
I'm pretty sure that was Phil. You do all the intros. You have funny voices.
Yep.
I don't know.
That was Phil. It was Phil.
New Adidas shackle sneakers ripped as symbolizing slavery.
Wait, say what?
Huh?
So Adidas came out with these new sneakers done by this famed designer.
Okay.
And they had these little plastic orange shackles attached to them that you would wear around your ankles.
Okay.
And everyone came out and said, this reminds me of slavery. This is terrible. don't do this. And Adidas first came out and said, no, look, when we designed them, we weren't thinking about Slayer. We were thinking about, what is it, My Little Monster?
My Pet Monster.
Right, that's what the guy referenced as, is because they wore handcuffs. And everyone just said, nope, still not good enough. This is on Facebook, they're saying that. They're sure. Posting, they're not wow. Liking.
Oh, they're dislike buttoning.
They're sharing with friends, but saying derogatory things.
Ooh.
And so then they came out and said, okay, they're not about slavery, but now we're not making them anymore.
Oh. Yeah.
What the?
Yeah.
That's more racist.
But there are things in popular culture that exist that yeah. are possibly more racist than that. Not intro to podcast bits.
Okay.
But things in popular culture. So let's ask, what's more racist, guys?
Okay.
Adidas Shackle sneakers.
Sure. Okay.
Uncle Ben.
Oh. Ooh, Uncle Ben from the Rice.
Well, I'm going to have to say, honestly, I don't think either is racist.
Okay, that's a fair answer. Joel?
I mean, here's the thing. Uncle Ben is really just a black guy selling rice.
Okay.
I don't know why that. I guess there's certain cultural connotations, but I think if you take a big step
uncle,
back,
you know.
Yeah, but that comes from he could just be someone's uncle. It doesn't have to mean some sort of similarity to Uncle Tom. And he's selling rice. I don't know that that's racist at all.
I think that Uncle Ben's incredibly racist because it's a wildly racist portrayal of an Asian man. I mean, if you think about it, I understand Asian people selling rice, not racist, right? But to show an Asian guy as an elderly black man, horribly racist.
I hadn't thought about that way, Phil. Maybe you're right.
There Chief Wahoo.
Chief Wahoo, definitely more racist.
Cleveland Indians mascot or logo on their cap. They wear this on their cap. Chief
All right.
Wahoo.
So for those of you who don't know
they
Chief
know
Wahoo,
who it is.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a commonly known
thing. Cleveland Indians logo.
Yeah.
It's been their logo for
literally
over 100 years.
Incredibly racist.
So are we trying to figure out what's more racist, that or your intro
or the
Shackle sneakers
intro
or Asian Uncle Ben?
intro's not in the that's a different separate
okay
category.
I would say Chief Wahoo easily the most racist thing that we've
right
talked
I would
about
say
thus far.
If the intro was on the table it'd be the intro, but if not, no, you're right, Chief Wahoo.
I think Chief Wahoo outdoes the intro even.
I don't know, it's close.
The
I'll
intro
give it maybe
was
a tie.
In jest. Chief Wahoo has legitimately just been there as their mascot.
Chief
for
Wahoo's
over
in
a
jest
century.
Though isn't does he come out as a big mascot and stumble around on the ground?
They actually don't use that as a mascot anymore, just the logo.
Okay.
Yeah. He's also Chief Wahoo.
Right, because he's excited.
And the mascot
Wahoo!
Itself is red. I'm sorry, but I mean, I know it's over 100 years of history for Cleveland, but Jesus, guys, at some point you really have to look at it and say, maybe we should just
If you look at the old logos, they're even worse.
Yeah.
If you ever look back at the old, they're incredibly
close. Cleveland is actually really close to Sandusky, America's Roller Coast.
That's true. All right. Modern day Aunt Jemima.
Ooh.
Modern day Aunt Jemima.
For those of you who don't know modern day
Aunt Jemima.
No, but modern day looks different than the elder day Aunt Jemima.
Oh, I don't think our listeners will necessarily be familiar with elder day Aunt Jemima. They might have to Google her.
Yes.
That's coming up. Don't worry. Modern day Aunt Jemima. She's on syrup.
Modern day Aunt Jemima, I'm going to say not racist. Why can't a black woman sell syrup? I don't understand what would make that specifically racist.
Phil?
I think that Aunt Jemima is one of the most racist portrayals I've ever seen of a Canadian. I mean, Canadians, of course, a Canadian selling syrup, not weird, right? They've got lots of syrup up there.
Oh, definitely. Undoubtedly.
But to portray a Canadian as an elderly black woman?
Okay, there could easily be an elderly black woman from Canada.
Oh, now who's being racist, Joel?
You're
now
just
who's
assuming
being
that
racist?
Aunt Jemima isn't Canadian. Aunt
and
Jemima
there's no way
well
she's
Canadian.
Canadian.
She could definitely be Canadian. There's
no
reason she
can't
be
there's
Canadian.
No way she's Canadian. Everyone knows Aunt Jemima's Mexican.
All right.
All right. Now, old-timey Aunt Jemima.
There it is.
Oh, my gosh. That laps.
Hold on. There's text on the picture
why
showing
don't you,
that
why
says.
Why don't you read it?
It says, "Lawsy, folks show cheer for fluffy, energizing Aunt Jemima pancakes." And there's lots of apostrophe N's and "Lawsy" is how it starts.
That is incredibly racist.
Yeah.
Maybe that's an Aunt Jemima where I'd say probably not Canadian.
Right.
She looks like a southern slave woman.
Yeah.
She looks
like
a house
that slave. One is driving very hard at a very specific stereotype. And the dialogue.
Yeah, the dialogue sells it for me. However, the pancakes do look fluffy and delicious.
And energizing.
So yeah. I would say that the pancake's not racist. Everything else about the picture, very racist.
Yes, the pancakes are not the racist part of that picture.
Right.
And
I
finally,
agree.
And this
astute observation.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's why we have you on the podcast.
Sure, sure.
This is not specific to sports.
However, the butter on the pancakes, a little bit racist.
Okay.
A little bit racist. Yeah.
This is my favorite example of something that is racist in American sports. Anytime someone brings up the Cleveland Indians, I bring up this because I think it's even worse. The Washington Redskins.
Yep.
Not the logo, but the fact that the team name in our nation's capital is a slur on a people that we took this land from.
Yep.
The racist part is the fact that it's called Redskins.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm not entirely certain how racist the logo itself is.
The logo.
It appears that
they've done. Not a caricature.
Yeah. Because, I don't know. What is it? Like, the Seminoles made a big. Seminoles in Florida State are in cahoots at this point.
Yeah.
To have a more culturally sensitive and significant and representative.
Well, the Seminoles like it because it makes them the monies.
Well, yeah, that too. But also now they have people. Like, the Seminole mascot represents actual Seminole.
There's a team called the Semen Holes?
No, Seminole.
What? That's a weird name for a team.
Yes, I don't know why.
That's the red explicit tag there, right there.
What?
We were going fine, talking about racism and society and commentary.
Well, I'm going to go. I will go out on a limb and say I think the Redskins as a name is very racist.
Yep, it's extremely racist. And what do you actually call a semen hole?
Huh?
It's,
what do I call a semen
no,
hole?
No, like you're on a submarine and you open the thing so that the semen can get out under the top of the submarine. What do you call that?
Stop, you're giving me the hugest direction right now.
Never been harder.
Yep.
Yes. All right. I would argue that the name the Redskins comes in worse than Chief Wahoo, not quite as bad as the original Aunt Jemima, as it would turn out. But yes, incredibly racist. And again, one that people just appear ready to overlook.
For the
foreseeable future.
And this is also something Americans, I think, tend to overlook. But in Europe, I read a BBC story once. They pointed me out. Redskins' biggest rival.
The Cowboys.
That is correct.
I guess, and I didn't
all
even
right.
know.
In fairness, they didn't necessarily plan it that way.
Right.
I have a feeling that Texas did. Yeah, they were just like, we need a rival. Let's get them Redskins.
Oil. I mean, the AFC East, they're all kind of rivals of each other to a certain degree.
Right. I'm just saying, traditionally.
Cowboys. Wow. I hadn't even picked up on that.
Right. I didn't either until I read this British story where they said, and the Redskins' biggest rival is the Cowboys. And then had a parenthetical, yeah, we're not joking. And I thought, why would they be? Oh, right. Ah.
Yeah.
Can I do one last what's more racist?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. The shoes with the shackles on them.
Okay.
Or Joel Anderson. Jordan?
I'm going to say myself, because the shoes with the shackles, I think, are not at all racist. All
right, Jordan?
I think Joel has the same amount of underlying prejudices that any of us have and try to eliminate, or if you're from the Midwest, just suppress.
Yes, exactly.
And not talk about.
But the shoes don't have that because they're not people.
No, they're not people, so I'm going to have to say Joel is more racist.
I agree. I think Joel is far more racist.
What?
Than the shoes.
You know what I'm going to say? You know what's racist? I think the fact that people immediately said, oh, these sneakers are going to make people think of slavery, because they, I think, are immediately assuming that most of the people wearing these sneakers are going to be black.
Yeah, them's the racist.
I think that in and of itself is racist in a way that they're not necessarily connecting to.
We are operating on a higher plane on this podcast.
Yeah, we win!
Our discourse, more sophisticated than Facebook.
That was fun.
Take that one of the
books. Let's have dialogues more often.
Yeah, we learned something. We shared.
We learned something today.
For you, the listeners of Sports, Sports, Sports Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I personally recommend a wonderful book called The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. Joel saw the movie. He said that it was okay. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/comedypodcastnetwork. Again, that's audibletrial.com/comedypodcastnetwork for your free audiobook.
And now it's time for another Weird Sports!
Weird sports.
We didn't mention the weird sport in the intro, did we?
You're goddamn right we didn't.
I'm sorry. That's
no, it's okay.
Bad.
We've got a weird sport today.
If you're still listening, folks, it's lucky that
I assume
you
most
stood
people
by
got
us.
Through the intro and they're like, there's no weird sport. Click off.
Click.
Or
click.
They call their friends and go, finally, a sports podcast without that filler in it.
No one would ever have said that.
No,
ever.
Never.
What you just described has never happened.
I don't want to live in a world where that happens. Speaking of which, today's weird sport, the pig in Ford races.
The what now?
The pig in Ford races.
In Ford.
Pig-N-Ford races.
Oh, like and.
Pig in Ford.
Pig in Ford.
Okay. It's like a Swedish word.
This sounds like
the
a
pig in yard.
Sounds
the
like
pig
a,
in yard.
A combination farm animal and auto race?
Oh, you got way too close.
Oh, did I?
Nah, this is going to be boring now because Joel screwed the pooch.
What? Oh, it's kind of an obvious name.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll go for it. Pig and Ford races are auto racing events staged at the Tillamook County Fair in Tillamook County, Oregon.
Oh, man, I've been to Tillamook County. I went to the cheese factory.
For their cheddar.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the little, little Baby Bell Tillamooks.
If you can go to the Tillamook factory, guys, they have Tillamook cheese curd there. And if you've never had like the cheese curd, which is it's basically like cheese but somehow more delicious than cheese.
Yeah, it's like cum.
Yeah.
Have you heard the curd's the word?
Oh yeah, the famous
curd,
song.
Curd.
Curd is the word.
It's true.
The curd is the word.
Have you heard about the curd, Jordan? Because everyone knows that the curd is the word.
I'm not biting on this family.
All right, there we go. That song's out before Family Guy. The races are run every August during and as the feature of the Tillamook County Fair. Go figure.
This is the grand event.
This is the big event. This is where all the Tillamook County people.
Involve cheese.
They put on shoes one day a year and they scamper off to the Tillamook County Fair to go watch the Pig and Ford races.
Get your shoes on!
I wanna.
They're not going to have a southern accent in Oregon, guys.
Yeah, southern accents are everywhere.
It's okay. All right, fine.
Any place that there's ignorant people. As a northerner, I assume they talk with a southern accent.
Yeah. It's true. Drivers used stripped Model T Fords with stock mechanicals.
Oh, I like this.
They're going old school. The Model T. Joel, do you know about the Model T?
I was born in Michigan.
Very early car.
T. You do a 3-week unit in the Model T in every single grade in elementary school.
Yeah, I'll do your
3-week
unit. Five cars are lined up with the engines off at the start line of the Avareel Arena horse racing track.
I like the engines off part.
Yep,
I think you should have to get your car started before.
Yeah,
you
see where
off.
This is going because
I
Model
don't think
T,
they got it started with a key back.
Right,
then.
Model T did not have what the Prius has, where you push a button and it says hello. No, no,
a crank.
Yep, back then they got
awesome.
A crank.
Awesome.
Drivers stand next to the grandstands. When the starter pistol fires, the drivers run to the opposite side of the front straight. Grab a live 20-pound pig from a bin.
From the bin.
From a pig,
the pig
bin. Yeah, you know, the pig bins.
Yeah.
You know,
where they keep them.
I hate it. Everywhere I go, I'm like, what's that smell? Oh, there's a pig bin here.
Oh, jeez.
Terrible.
Oh.
Gets in the way. They grab a 20-pound pig from the pig bin, and then they must hand crank their car and drive it one lap.
Is this while holding the pig?
Oh, yeah, they got the pig. Can't let the pig go.
Put the pig under one arm while you're cranking a Model T in the other.
The old 20-pounder. The 20-pounder pig
I
from the
pig
bin.
I feel like this. There's like an origin story to this that is fascinating.
It's got
to
be about pig napping.
Yeah. Like some guy has got the prize pig and he had to escape and he had to crank his Model T to start it. And he thought, wow, what I'm doing here, I haven't trained for.
Yeah. It's like the movie Taken, only with pigs.
It's exactly
like I have a particular set of skills. Skills that can make things very dangerous for people like you. I can grab pigs in one arm, and I can crank a Model T crank in the other.
I can cure bacon.
I will find you, and I will kill you.
I can reconstruct a early 20th century engine.
They then stop once they've done one loop. They kill the engine.
Oh, I thought you were going there.
They murder a live pig with their bare hands. They eat of its flesh. No, they don't do that.
I didn't have any moral opposition to that. I just was going, wow, it's
hard fucking
intense.
Core.
Yeah.
You pick up the pig, you get in the car, you do a lap, you kill the pig.
Yeah, the kids all run out and play in the blood.
Hey, no fair killing the pig before you finish your lap. That's right. I don't think people haven't tried that one before.
You got to do your satanic ritual beforehand and then breathe out the pig's last breath.
Yeah.
They then stop, kill the engine, get a different pig, and then race another lap. The first driver to complete three laps in this manner without losing their pig is the winner.
So there's a chance that this pig might jump out of the car.
Yeah, and then they got to go chase it.
They got to stop. Can you chase it in the car before returning to the track?
No, then you might hit the pig.
Yeah, I don't know how that would
work. Well, again, it seems like if you hit the pig, the pig's probably not going to. You see, I would like to point out, loophole in the rules, it does not say at the beginning you can't kill your pig.
Yeah, but Joel, there's children watching.
Yes, but if you want to win, you slit the pig's throat and you can be sure that it's not going to jump out
of your
Model T.
You know, Joel is just like you in the death pool. You do so much research that it's no fun anymore. It's the same way with this. You go and kill the pig, it ruins the point of the sport.
I am sure there is a rule that says you cannot kill the pig.
Yeah.
I am sure it has to be a live pig.
Or I would say that it's entirely possible that in the history of this competition, no one's killed the pig.
Well,
so
speaking of history of this competition, the race was first run in 1925. Model Ts were very much a part of the culture then.
Flippers, flappers, and Tin Lizzies.
Yeah, it's true. Thin Lizzy. They would play concerts back then.
No, Tin Lizzy was actually the nickname of the car.
Sure was. The official story is that two local farmers were chasing a runaway pig in their Model Ts. And they were having so much fun.
See, they were chasing him in the car, Phil.
Right, right.
I was right.
That's true. You were right. You were right. I'll give that one to you.
Yeah.
They were having so much fun, they decided it should be a race at the next county fair. That's the origin story.
They were
Think there was booze involved.
Yeah.
I think they were not legally allowed to reveal the fact that they were rip-roaring drunk while they did this because it was the 20s.
Like, we spent the last 10 years not doing stuff, and this reminded me that there's stuff that can be done, like reasons to drive around after a pig. Let's bring it to the fair. The pig and Ford race have been run every year since 1925. Drivers belong to the Tillamook County Model T Pig and Ford Association.
Right.
And membership is often a lifelong affair.
Well, I imagine one step down that road.
Yeah, it's like the Skull and Bones.
Yeah.
Once you're in.
You're in for life.
I've actually, and that's the thing, a lot of people, they always say Skull and Bones, Freemasons. I'm pretty sure it's the Model T Pig and Ford Association that, in fact, is pulling the strings behind everything that happens.
Did you know that the last 12 presidents have been part of the Tillamook County Model T Pig and Ford Association?
Yeah, and I suppose historians will tell you that that's just some sort of coincidence.
Yeah. The eye on top of the pyramid on the back of a dollar bill is really referring to looking at the pigs.
Yep.
And why won't they answer questions about it?
Right.
Yeah.
How come they will never talk about their membership in the society?
Right. Oh, yeah. We'd all see the tattoos.
They'll say things like the dollar bill was designed prior to 1925. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. What the hell are they talking about?
I would say I think I know of a little dollar Sacagawea coin. That was designed very recently.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the pig and Ford imagery on it.
Yeah, littered with Model T imagery.
Absolutely.
You got to know what you're looking for, but it's there.
Well, you ask if they're in for life, then how did someone else get in? How do you get young blood? The people from 1925 still can't
be running. Obviously,
they're dead.
You kill someone who's already a member.
That's pretty close, actually. Cars and memberships are often passed down through families or sold to close friends. You got to be in with the in crowd in order to do it.
Nepotism.
This
just
event,
like Hollywood.
This event went from very egalitarian to very elitist.
Yeah.
I thought
this,
at first.
This probably explains why, because, you know, at first I was thinking to myself, why hasn't this spread every single county fair in America? And I think it's because of the elitist nature of the Model T Pig and Ford Association.
Yeah, not enough Model Ts to go around because the top 1% of Model T owners are hoarding them all.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, some of the cars that ran in 1925 still running today.
God
amazing.
Damn.
Well,
that's
they're not making new ones.
Automobile
yeah,
right
yeah,
there.
Exactly. My first car was a Dodge 800, and it lasted for 3 months.
Yeah. So somewhere around the 1960s, the American auto industry maybe lost a little steam. But the Model T, a fine fucking piece of machinery.
Right. They built their cranks stronger than they build the cranks on cars nowadays.
Yep.
It's true. Well, that comes to an end. Another...
Wheel Sports!
All right, everyone, that brings us to the close of another Sports podcast. But before we go, we'd like to give you our contact information.
You can email us at sportspodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at sports3podcast. That's sports3podcast. You can find us on Facebook by searching sports podcast. It's a little searchy bar up the top. You can find us on iTunes by searching sports3podcast. That's sports3, all one word, space podcast. You can find us on Stitcher Radio. Download the Stitcher app today at Stitcher.com and search sports podcast. While you're on iTunes, leave us a little love. Leave us a comment. Leave us a rating. Say how much you love us. Give us kisses.
Sounded like you were going to start a song at the top.
You can
find us on ComedyPodcastNetwork.com.
Tune in
for all our back episodes.
Tune in next week. And we'll have a song for that whole thing. Phil's gonna write it.
Nah, you bastard.
Yep.
Lights off!
You have received this transmission from the Comedy Podcast Network. For more shows, visit ComedyPodcastNetwork.com.